This podcast is brought to you by RV Station, helping make you a smarter, more confident RVer by providing free monthly RV education classes at all 7 of their Texas locations. Not only are these classes informative, they're also a lot of fun to attend. Reserve your seat at our next free RV Ed class. Go to TheRVShowUSA.com.
The RV Show USA. Start living the RV dream today.
And welcome to what is going to be very interesting and most likely a somewhat sobering interview with one of my heroes in the RV industry. Welcome to the RV Show USA, everybody, the country's number one radio and social media show about the RV lifestyle. I'm Alan Warren, the RV wingman. Now, we're also the most talked about show in the country when it comes to the RV lifestyle. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we don't sugarcoat things. We tell you the truth, and sometimes the truth can be a little bit difficult to swallow. But you know what? We do it with the goal of educating the RVer and the future RVer to some of the pitfalls that just could lie ahead. Before I bring up our guest, I want to say this. There's nobody, I mean nobody in the RV industry that has had more of a positive impact on me and the way we do this show than he has. He is more than just somebody who is an RVer. He loves to RV, but he's an accomplished writer, an excellent writer. He's an award-winning video producer and a true gentleman. Also my friend, Chuck Woodbury. How are things?
They're good, Alan, and thanks for that very nice introduction. You make me sound real important.
Well, you are real important to a lot of people, Chuck, and I got to tell you, last Saturday's essay in RV Travel was not something I expected. It was not something that I wanted to read.
Well, I started this newsletter, RV Travel. I mean, most people know us because of our weekly newsletter. And I started it in the year 2001. It was supposed to start the same week as, 9/11 happened. And, of course, who wanted to read about RVing then? You know, everybody was so horrified. So we started a couple weeks later, and I've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, every week, we started off every other week. And so we hit issue 900 last week. And I just wrote that, you know, when issue 1000 comes along, I think that's time for me to step out of the limelight, at least. I don't expect to be gone, but I think writing an essay every week is becoming, it's getting a little harder. I've become a little more cynical later, recently. So I'm just a little bit tired. But I have still have just as much of a commitment to, helping RVers and the journalist in me loves to get the news out. And so I'm not going to go away. I'm just going to maybe be in the background a little bit more.
Well, we've got some time to convince you to hang around a little bit longer. But I got to tell you, it didn't surprise me with a lot of things that the pushback. But from strictly as somebody who loves to read, you are such an incredible storyteller, Chuck. You're a good writer, and it's a skill that you've developed your entire life. It's not something you're born with. You learn it, and you've learned it. It's a craft. And gosh, I love reading your essays. I really do. The positive ones, the negative ones, the silly ones. I love all of them because I love your style.
Well, when I was in college, I was on the school newspaper, and I was mostly on the business side, and people said, Chuck, you really should be a writer. And I said, oh, no. Writers are special people. And I didn't do any writing. And then I just sort of got into it, did a freelance article, and somebody gave me money for it. And I go, wow, this is pretty cool. And I've had many, many decades to get better at it. So I love it. Some writers say it's painful to write. I'd rather just sit and write all the time. I tell my friends, I say, when I pass on, just put my brain in a jar with some wires to a keyboard, and I'll be happy for eternity. That's right. So that's what I love to do, and I studied it along the way. But you write for long enough, and you've got basic talent, you better get better. So.
I'm going to jump in and do a shameless plug for RV Travel. For you folks who are listening to this interview, and if you do not subscribe to RV Travel, please take a minute and do so. If you remember Charles Kuralt, he's passed on, his brain's in a jar somewhere maybe, but he was an incredible storyteller. And Chuck, you've got, like I said, you've got that gift. Tell us about, not the whole 18 years of your journey, but how has Chuck Woodbury changed in the way that you view RVing and the RV industry to, and brought you to episode or you know, your 900th edition of RV Travel? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, Alan, if you go back to before the Internet, not before the Internet, but I mean, I was publishing in the traditional world before the Internet, and then the Internet came along, and there was no Facebook, there was no iPhones, and that's when I started. And, you know, keeping up, as I think Greg Gerber said, was it last week when you talked to him, keeping up with the technology, and, you know, it's tough. And, you know, now more than half of our readers are reading on mobile phones, you know, iPhones or whatever. And so I'm instead of having a big page to work on with different size headlines and the way you did in the newspaper business, you know, everybody's reading me on their phones, and it's, you know, it's not very satisfying because you can't really present it in a way that you'd like to. But RVing has changed so much. I mean, when I started, the population in the United States was one third less than it is. That's a lot fewer people in the national parks, and there was no reservations, and you know, you just went where you wanted, when you wanted, and that has all changed. There's just so many people, and that's really the difference. It's just there's so many people out there, and RVs have become more like homes in many cases, and you can live in them full time, and those people are jamming up the campgrounds. And so to me, it's, you know, 2 years of full timing, which I just ended within the last year. Just like what Greg Gerber said, it was a real eye opener. And, you know, just, I don't know, being just totally dealing with RVs and RVers every day, it just opened my eyes to a lot of things about quality and about availability of campgrounds and especially quality, you know, with record sales. It's just too many people out there having problems. And so that's how it changed. I just began to see it not quite as easy to do or as much fun as when I started off.
Would you say it is better to be a consumer today because of the number of choices, or would it be better to be a consumer years ago when you didn't have as many choices, but there weren't as many quality issues?
Well, that's like saying, you know, you move to the country, and you move there because it's the country, and you can walk around and breathe the clear air and have plenty of space, and then somebody builds a freeway, and then all of a sudden your home is still there, but it's surrounded by suburbs and shopping malls. It's the same place. It's not the same place, and that's kind of you know, for some people today, RVing is still wonderful. It's just, you know, it's just, I think it's, I like the country better than the city. And I like the wide open spaces, but you know, people have changed too. We don't want to be, so many of us don't want to be out in the boonies where we can't get a, you know, post to Facebook every 3 hours. And, so people have changed, and you know, Camping World has come along, and other big dealers, and you know, we've gone from 100 RV manufacturers 20 years ago to three major manufacturers now. It's all changed, and so if you get a good RV today, and you want to go full time, and you don't want to just necessarily get up every morning and go somewhere else, and so you make your reservations, and I think RVing is every bit as wonderful as it was 20 years ago. Certainly the RVs are much better made. It's just apples and oranges. It's a different thing.
Can you explain to our listeners who may not realize the change, what happened to the RV industry in the 2008-2009 recession and how that changed the trajectory of and got us to where we are today? Do you understand the question, where I'm trying to go with that? Or
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of the smaller companies got gobbled up by the bigger companies. So what you've got today is you got Thor, you got Forest River, and you got Winnebago, and that's, what, 85% of the market. And then you got a bunch of little ones out there. And before that, there was many more companies, maybe, I don't know, just taking a wild guess, a few dozen it was all spread around a lot more. So I think you've just got three big companies out there who are kind of doing whatever they want to do. And I think the quality has suffered. I think that the percentage of RVs that are coming off the out of the factories are the defects are much higher than they used to be because they can't get enough good help in Elkhart, and then of course getting RVs serviced today is with so many more new RVs, it's so much harder. And you're in the middle of some state where 100 miles to a decent type city, if something your electronic system comes in goes bad, and where do you find somebody to fix it? If you're living full time in it, which people do, what do you do? And they say it's going to take a month to get the part or 2 months.
Do you think that there are more complaints today about bad RVs than there were years ago, or has social media just made it, if you've got a bad RV, you can hit a jillion people with the push of a button? Or you think there really are quality issues much more than there were, 15, 20 years ago?
I think there's more quality issues, but you know what? They're cranking them out a lot faster. They're much more complicated, than they were 20 years ago. 30 years ago. They were basically for camping back then. When I started off, when I was in my early 30s, when I bought my first little terrible motorhome, the leaker, the one that, poor drain inside the RV,
the leaker,
and poor drain outside. I bought with absolutely no knowledge of what an RV was or what you look for. I just said, "Hey, this looks pretty good, and how much you want for it?" And say your question again, Alan. I got sidetracked.
Well, Chuck, I love hearing your perspective about how the quality issues have changed, and basically, are there more problems today than there were, quality issues 20 years ago? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Social media has.
The answer is yes. Go ahead.
Well, tell us. Before I ask you to tell me about the fox and the hen house story, because you got to tell that. That's just awesome, folks. If you have a question for Chuck Woodbury from RV Traveler, a comment, please post it here in the live stream. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, and we're going to try to get to as many of them as possible. I want to know what our listeners think, Chuck. So going back to Saturday's essay, I could feel the frustration in your words, and mm-hmm. use the analogy, if you will. Tell us the story of the fox and the hen house, and how that you see it applies to the RV industry, please.
Well, I think, Alan, that I'm often critical of, the RVA, the industry, and I say they should do more to, make sure that the people who get the RVs actually, they should think about the RVers, not just the manufacturers and how many RVs they can sell. But I think the problem that we have today is you have the RVIA, which represents all the manufacturers and some of the aftermarket big companies, and they're looking out for their interests, fighting lemon laws. They're looking out for their members, and that's their job. That's what they're hired for. But you don't have anybody out there looking for the RVers. And I thought it's like take the fox and take the hens in the hen house. They can't form the same association. You can't have an association looking out for the foxes and the hens. I mean, the fox wants to eat the hens. The hens don't want to be eaten. So how can you have a common? So the RVA is the fox. It's got to live. It's got to do what it has to do, which is, in the case of the hen house, eat hens. So I think the fox have to have their organization that works to get them into the hen house, and I think the hens have to have their organization that keeps the foxes out. You cannot serve two masters. So I think what's missing today is any kind of an association, any kind of a group that's really looking out for RVers. For example, an organization that when the RVA is going into a state that's proposing lemon laws that would make it better for RVers, you've got nobody going in there and fighting for the RVers.
Right.
So I think that's part of the problem. And we're just, in Greg Gerber, his voice going away, it just takes one of the somebody out there who was paying attention to this.
But you know what, Chuck, I don't know if it was you or Greg, but somebody brought, sent me a note about the video clip about RVIA was talking about the highlights at the, of 2018 and all the great things that they had done. And they were boasting about killing proposed lemon law legislation. And And you highlighted it. I highlighted it. Greg Gerber highlighted it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, guess what? Three little voices, our three little voices, and RVIA re-edited that video, and now that's gone, right?
That's right. It's gone. And you know, people said, I mean, people I talked to, they said, how stupid was that? You're putting it on a public forum, YouTube, for anybody to see, and you see if some guy there, some guy watches that, and he just bought a brand new RV and paid $150,000 for it, or $100,000 whatever, and the RV dealer said, oh, you just take it out, and if there's any problems, you just bring it back to me, and bring it back, and we'll fix it. And then he goes out, and he finds all kinds of problems, and he makes an appointment, and they say, well, you know, it's going to take us 3 months to get that part in, or whatever. Anyway,
it's not good. Listen, Chuck, hang on. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We've got quite a few comments and questions. So, do you mind? Can we hit some of those right now? They're not too in depth, but a lot of people are going to miss you.
Well, anything, Alan. Anything. I'm fine with anything. Keep talking. Yeah.
All right. Hang on, Miss Katie. So, what have you got there,
Chuck? We got a lot of people that are they support you and RV travel, and one of our listeners says that they want to thank you for your knowledge that you've shared with them, and that he's learned a lot from you. There's a lot of people that want to know. They know you won't be completely gone, but is there any possibility of a comeback after a little time off?
No. I've been doing this for two-thirds of half my life, and I'm not going away. I'll never go away. The only time I'm going to go away is if my brain goes away or physically I can't do it. I'm just not going to be quite as visible, but I'll be behind the scenes for a long time. You know, my daughter's got involved, and she's a millennial, and she's been RVing since she's about your age, Katie. She's been RVing since she was 3 months old, and she loves it, and she knows the lingo, so she's doing more and more. She's editing our daily tips newsletter that comes out every Monday through Thursday. So, and she's oddly enough, she writes an awful lot like I do, and she's pretty witty. And so, who knows? She may take over. But no, I'm not going away. I'm still healthy, and I don't know what else I'd do.
All right, so Chuck, we got Tim Woody wants to know if you make a comment on the generic nature of RV owners' manuals. You have any comments about, or the lack thereof, maybe?
You know, there used to be quite a few of them. What else put one out? My friend Gary Bunzer. They're still available. If you search for RV maintenance handbook or something on Amazon, you'll find them. And they're pretty good. Obviously, they haven't been updated in a few years, but, you know, most of the stuff is still the same. So, sadly, when, you know, print publications started suffering, this actually started about 2008, e-books started coming out, more websites. The print publications that used to be around, you know, all folded. They couldn't sell enough. So, yeah, I think picking up those. RV Handbook, I think, is one of them. Gary Bunzer, get the one that Gary Bunzer did. Search for Bunzer. It'll be available used on Amazon.
Okay. And, Chuck, in maybe if you can, in less than a minute, what would be the biggest nugget of RVing wisdom that you can give?
When you're buying, is take your time, talk to your friends before you buy it, have it inspected, and don't buy on impulse. Don't sit on the couch and go, "Oh, isn't this pretty?" Look at everything about it. Think about it. Think you're going to use it, and don't finance it for 20 years. That's just insane. Insane.
Absolutely. So, all right, folks, we've got Chuck Woodbury on with us from RV Travel, my favorite go-to resource for all things RV-related. And Chuck, last weekend, wrote an essay on his fabulous newsletter about his plans for the future, and I didn't like everything I read, but that's why we've got him on the air right now. So, Chuck, for the average RVer or the newbie to RVing, why do you think that they won't listen and do their homework? Why? You know, you've got you out there. Greg Gerber's been out there. I'm trying to communicate some of the things. And many people are like, la, 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 la. They just don't want to listen. Why is that?
Well, first of all, you and I and Greg, we're reaching a tiny, tiny fraction of the all the people that are going to buy RVs. The people that buy them now, just imagine these people are millennials, 20s, 30s, buying, you know, $20,000 travel trailers. They're not reading the newsletters that, you know, I'm putting out in the magazines, which are few and far between anymore.
Or listening to this show.
So I think they think about it. And, you know, when you go to an RV show and you sit in a pretty RV and you just fall in love. It's no different than being a 16-year-old and finding a 15-year-old that you think is the prettiest, neatest, most wonderful person in the world and falling in love. People fall in love, and it's an emotional experience. They think, oh, just imagine, we'll be out by a lake, and oh, you can cook up dinner. We'll get a little table, and we'll sit out and we'll drink our wine. And I mean, it's intoxicating. I remember when I started, it is intoxicating, that feeling. But if you get an RV that's a lemon, or it's not well maintained or whatever, then it's a nightmare. And I'd say your advertiser, Deanna at PPL, I'd say go to PPL. She will not take something in if it's bad. And that's, I say, buy used. A good used RV, you'll save so much money instead of financing a new one for 20 years, get a used one and finance for 10 years if you have to.
That's great info. All right, I want to get your thoughts on Greg Gerber's closing the doors at RV Daily Report. I mean, do you think it's because of the Death Spiral series he wrote, or was it a great information, or was it a death wish for him? What are Chuck Woodbury's thoughts?
Well, I think Greg was his audience was the industry, period. He tried to get out to the consumers, but you can't serve the industry and the consumers any more than the fox and the hens can share the same audience, you know. I think Greg just was too honest, and he pointed out deficiencies, things that were wrong. And the industry, there's three other trade journals out there that serve the RV industry, and they're all advertising supported. And if they don't say nice things, they essentially lose their advertising, which is their support. Greg had no other support besides advertising. And the advertiser said, hey, you're going to criticize us. We're not going to advertise you. Imagine you're a local newspaper editor, and the local drugstore comes to you and wants to buy a full-page ad for six weeks, you know, and this is huge money, but then you're the editor, and then you write a story about how this guy is, prices are too high or whatever, or he's doing something wrong or he's unethical or whatever. Is that editor going to do that? If he does, he's lost, you know, all that income, so he keeps quiet. This is not the RV industry. This is all media. You start being too critical, and that's why Consumers Reports doesn't have any advertising. They're not beholden to anyone. But that's just the way it goes. And in the end, this is a little industry in terms of the number of people involved, and Greg just said too many things that made them mad, and that's why Greg didn't succeed.
Another
Greg's a great
honest,
writer.
Good man. His voice is silenced, and it's a sad deal. What are your thoughts now compared to maybe 10 or 15 years ago? Today, there's only a handful of players in the RV world. How does that affect the consumer? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think you've got a lot. You know, you just don't have as many choices. You remember, those of us who are old enough remember when after World War II, I was a little guy. I mean, I was small, but I was when I get to be a teenager and everything. Remember American cars? Remember how nobody wanted them? I mean, we had them, but when you got to 60,000, 70,000 miles, that was high mileage. Time to get another one. Well, the countries that came in and really made a difference were Japan and Germany. And remember, those were both bombed out during World War II. They weren't competitors, but when they recovered and started making better products, then all of a sudden the American automobile industry started having a lot of problems because they were building, you know, low mileage. They looked at Volkswagen and they watched people buying them one after another, and they keep turning out these big things with fins, you know. So the RV industry has no competition, has none. And the three big time people, they're all operating the same. They're just trying to, you know, they brag when they got 500,000 new RVs. And the industry president came out recently and said, I can see, well, we're going to sell 600,000. Well, come on. Where are all these people going to stay? It's crazy. And how can they build them when they can't even get enough people to build the ones they've got now? So,
all right. So part of your essay on Saturday, you put up a trial balloon, if you will, talking about maybe starting a consumers association,
yeah.
a consumer organization that would be able to push back. But how can do you think that could really be developed? I mean, because RVIA makes tens and tens of millions of dollars a year, and this would be an association made up of mom and pops and RVers that, here's my $50, here's my... Or do people just want to complain I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to get your thoughts on, do you think it's a reality that we can create, somebody can create this association that can actually represent the hens instead of just having the foxes out there having representation?
I absolutely do. I don't think you have to, in business, if you have a lot of money, you have a big expensive ad campaign, marketing campaign, and if you're a little guy, you have what you call guerrilla marketing, which is you just do with what you can. And I think in industry, if you get out there and you just for one thing, just get local people that have problems with their RVs and have somebody that's media savvy on your staff that can call up the local assignment editor at the local TV station and say, hey, here's a guy who bought an RV, and it's been in the shop for 6 months, and he's making his payments, and his warranty's worn out, and his slide out fell off. I mean, get the local TV stations. What does that take? That doesn't take a whole lot. The industry pays attention to anything that's on television. I think you and I were like flies on the wall. They swat us and we don't die, but we come back.
I'm proud. I'm proud that a small little handful of us, I want to say, were able to somebody at RVIA listen to the message that, and they went ahead and changed that video, took out the part where they were boasting about killing lemon law legislation.
Yeah.
When I say something behind this microphone, or you say something in RV travel that it's the raw truth. I mean, I don't make this stuff up. And then I get dealers out there, people that work for dealers, literally making these horrible claims against me. It's awful. I mean, how do you fight back? I'm going to fight back as long as I can, but it ain't easy, brother.
You recognize that everybody's got their job to do. If you get a job, it's like I told you up here in the Seattle area, the Olympic Peninsula, I think we talked about it recently, where everything was dependent on logging years ago. And then all of a sudden there's proposals, I think it was because it started with the spotted owl, where they were going to shut down these forestry operations. And if you drove out on the Olympic Peninsula, every house in front said, this home is supported by logging. And the little kids out there with their, their tricycles running around, you go, oh, man, I hate to see that guy lose his job. But at the same time, if you drive around the Olympic Peninsula today, it looks like Mount St. Helens in places, just totally wiped out forest. And it's true they replant it, but that takes years and years, and then it looks like a garden more than a forest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be logging, but just, the people that work for the RVIA, they're there because they need to do everything they can to make sure that the manufacturers are happy because they pay the bills. Every time somebody buys an RV, the RVA gets $100 or $150 or $50, depending on whatever the size of the RV. Mm. The more they sell, the more money they have to pay their staff, to do their programs. The manufacturers, if you work for an RV manufacturer, you have one job to do, and that's do your job. And you don't have to worry about the end consumer out there. You just have to do what it takes to sell those RVs. And I think ethics is more important here as the management. Somebody, if you're really ethical and you really care, then you will do all you can to provide a good product and good service, and you'll be relentless and you won't stop until you do that, and you won't just throw stuff out there without thinking about the consequences. And that's the problem today. Everybody's doing their job, and the RV industry is doing a great job if it just comes down to sales, but I think for us that are out there on the road using the products, there's a lot of problems.
What do you see in the future, Chuck Woodbury? What does it look like to you? Are you optimistic, pessimistic, cautious? What do you see in the future in the way of the RV industry?
I think that you've got to start looking at what people are doing with RVs. You know, now they're putting out residential refrigerators in RVs. And, you know, and everybody wants them because they're bigger. They say they work better. I don't know. I've never had a problem with mine. But you need electricity. They don't run a propane. Those are made for full-time living or at least seasonal living. And the RV parks are growing, but not very fast. They can't keep up with the growth. You've got the people in the trailers. They're still going to go out to the public campgrounds and stuff, but the parks are filling up with seasonal workers, you know, mm-hmm. people that go. I mean, if you go to Carlsbad, New Mexico right now, home of Carlsbad Caverns, there's just a new oil fracking industry is picked up there. So every campground is packed. So you can go down there and have a vacation where you can stay. So I think in the future, there's got to be some way to accommodate all these RVers, and it can't be a Walmart parking lot. That's not going to last forever. What happens if Walmart pulls the plug? Where are people going to stay? By the side of the road? What are they going to do? The campgrounds are full. So I think it's a matter of people want things differently today. They want Wi-Fi. They want they must have electricity, and it better be 50 amp.
Yeah.
And then you've got people filling up the campgrounds. Some campgrounds that used to be for overnighters are now completely full all the time. So creating new campgrounds is problematic. Environmental laws, whatever. It's hard to get put $1 million in, $2 million to get a campground. And the ones that are starting up now are $100 a night. They're resorts, because that's what they got to get when you spend $15,000 per site, and then
Chuck, I'm trying to be objective here, and you're my friend. You have no idea how much I respect you. But if somebody doesn't know who you are and just listens to this, they're going, "I'm never going to buy an RV. God, this sounds terrible." RVing is that while all this stuff you're talking about is true, and I agree with you, the joy that comes from RVing that can come from it.
Oh yeah,
is incredible.
It's great. Yeah. You just have to understand, Alan, that the pictures of the RVIA shows of the camper out there on right on the cliff of overlooking the Pacific Ocean, that's just not where you're going to be staying most nights.
Photoshop.
Photoshop, or they just go in there and take some pictures and leave. You're going to be in crowded campgrounds if you need electricity, if you need Wi-Fi. If that's what you're going to do, then just, start call around a few RV parks where you think you might want to camp and see how available they are. Just understand that you're going to have to make reservations and that's just a part of it. And I think the people that are getting into it the first time, they probably accept that. If you plan a year ahead or 6 months ahead, or if you want to get into a national park, maybe 2 years ahead, a popular one, then that's fine. But you can't just drive. I mean, I was around Zion National Park here within the last year, and I asked a shuttle driver there, when's your off season? She said December. That's it. And I told my daughter, I said, we couldn't even get into the campground there. And she says, what do you mean? We just went in there on a road trip. It was maybe 5 years ago. We just drove in and we got a spot. Well, today you better have a reservation. It was probably 8 years ago. But the point is, RVing's an incredibly cool thing to do. It's incredibly fun. It's being in that little house out there, being on the Oregon coast on a really cold day, and you go down to the beach and you got, a little ocean spray in your face and a little sand between not your toes, but, you come back up and you get in there and close the door and the heater's on and it's warm and you have your cup of coffee. I mean, that's pretty great. And you still can do that. I just think that the more people you put out there, it's just a numbers game. And you, any more that you can fill up suburbia with, the country with, turn it into the suburbs and have the character be the same, I guess you're just going to have to go somewhere else for that. So it's a mixed bag. I mean, I think it's still great. I still love to do it. But I think the RV industry is really, there's nobody out there thinking about RVers, and that's RV Travel. We're going to continue to do what we can to make noise, and just like that the deal on the bragging about the lemon laws. That's, you know, come on. But somebody's got to get out there and represent the RVers, and I think that association can work. I think it will work. I think it's tough, but I think it would work. And I'm just going to pursue it.
If we don't have it, what else is there is no other answer. It's either form an association and fight, if you, I don't mean fight, but represent the RVer, or just accept whatever you get and just be quiet, stop complaining. Because the truth of the matter is, so few of everybody will complain, few people will do anything about it. And Chuck Woodbury, you're trying to do something about it. I think I'm trying to do something about it. But unless we can get critical mass, it ain't a pretty future. How can people help? I guess they can start out by subscribing to your newsletter and reading your essays as this whole subject continues to develop.
I think people can sign up for, you know, the more readers we have, the better, bigger our voice. We do, a lot of people voluntarily subscribe to us, give us $5 a month or whatever they want to do, $5 one time, whatever. That all helps. It takes the pressure off. If we lost all of our advertisers, we'd still survive at this point because we have 4,000 people to do that. You know, I think that the fact that we just had one little thing about the RVA changing that video just goes to show that it doesn't take much to get some action. And that action comes from public awareness, people complaining. And one day the industry is well aware that they have a problem, well aware. They're just not doing much, but they're well aware that there's quality issues. The manufacturers are aware of it.
Well, but I try to remain optimistic and hopeful that somebody out there is going to say, you know what, we're going to step forward and we're going to accept responsibility. We're going to really do our best, and we're not going to run and we're not going to hide. We're going to help people. We're going to turn this thing around because RVing, like you said, it is wonderful. There is nothing better that I think can unite families and build relationships. But has to happen. So, listen, thank you so much for everything you do for RVers, for being an inspiration for me. And you just need to know something. I'm going to do my level best to make you postpone your retirement only for about 7 or 8 more years, and then we can retire together. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'll probably be along because I don't know what else to do. But, Alan, you keep doing what you're doing, too. I know you get a lot of heat, and I've been getting heat for 35 years. I'm used to it. But there's a lot of people out there that don't get what we're doing. And but you know what? There's a lot of people that need us. So your voice can't be – I won't let your voice be silenced. I'll do everything I can to keep you there. So
well, thank you. Thank you for everything.
If anybody out there is listening that's got a business, they can advertise with us, and that helps us too. But,
yes, folks, if you have a business that has anything to do with RVs, RV-related products, campgrounds, there's no place better that you can advertise than RV Travel. I'm telling you, they've got state-of-the-art ways to get – you can geo-target different areas and things. You've got to contact Chuck and his team. So, Chuck, we're going to send everybody to rvtravel.com. Thank you for being with us, okay?
Thanks a lot, Alan.
All right. Talk to you soon, folks.
Hopefully you don't lose your power again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks. There he was, Chuck Woodbury. What a great guy. Like I said, he's a good friend. He's an accomplished writer, award-winning video producer, and he really cares. In a world where people don't care about others, Chuck is a shining example of somebody that is unique. And I want to have him as a friend. I want him in this industry for a long time. I'm going to do my best to help him postpone his retirement. That's going to do it for today. Thank you for being with us. Make sure you add your name to our email list at thervshowusa.com. I'm Alan Warren, the RV Wingman. Remember, don't leave your good manners at home. The RV Show USA. Hi, it's the RV Wingman. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would, please rate it. I hope you'll give us 5 stars. And make sure and share it with your RV and family and friends. If you've got a show idea or you'd like to make a comment, leave me a voicemail message 24/7 at 1-330-WINGMAN. The RV